9 to 11 over on the 104.3 The Fan side. That's our home. We've been there since, we've been on The Fan since 1998. But every now and then a football game or something bumps us over to our sister station, ESPN. We're always glad to be here. Let's go to the phones, and joining us from Discount Tackle is Austin Parr. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks for having me.
You know, I'm looking outside, and it's sunny. It's beautiful. We're headed into fall. The temperatures are going to drop a little bit this week. Must be time to put the fishing rods away and give it up, right?
That's what a lot of people are thinking right now, and especially after all this crazy additional traffic over the last year and a half with COVID. It might be a nice reprieve to get out and catch a lot of fish here with less anglers on the water.
And, you know, fall fishing, you and I talk about this all the time. When you start, there's two times of the year when you have a much better chance of catching big fish. One is in the spring during spawning seasons. The other is in the fall where some fish are spawning and others are just getting ready for winter. And where a cold change in weather like we're having coming this week in the spring will shut things down, it has just the opposite effect this time of the year, doesn't it?
Absolutely. When we start getting a nice cold snap like this, it really accelerates that tendency for those fish to be feeding heavily in the fall. And we're already starting to see some big walleyes at metro impoundments like Chatfield and Cherry Creek, but this little cold snap here may just be the snap that we need to kill off some additional shad and get those big fish really going.
Why don't you take us through what you're seeing now in case somebody wants to get out there in the next couple days, and then what you think we're going to see after the cold front and going into maybe the end of next week.
Yeah, so right now at Cherry Creek, may have seen a late turnover. We had last week a situation where the fish were very concentrated and then have kind of become a bit more scattered, but they're starting to get back onto structure points a little more regularly right now. In the early morning, I've still been starting off a little bit shallower in that under 10-foot of water range and then drifting out into the deeper water as the day progresses. Now, jigging wraps have been best for me out there. Purple tones have been very effective, but then also having them glow hot perch style colors that really aren't very perchy. It's more of a kind of a bluish back with some chartreuse and orange mixed in that a lot of times separates from some of those other shad, which I find to be effective at times. But working those baits on a cast or a strolling technique where I have my boat moving at about 3/4 mph and I'm snapping that rod to the side as I'm moving over the course of structure points. And that's been effective throughout the day, honestly. With a little bit of wind in the afternoon, it has been a little bit more productive as usual for the afternoon walleye bite. But then shifting over to Chatfield, seeing generally the same. Fish are set up on some structure points. They're a little bit scattered with as many bait fish are as out there, which is to be expected. But the whole key on both of these lakes is moving around and finding a small grouping of fish and fishing to it, but yet not sitting up on that spot for too long. I'm moving around pretty regularly, and you'll catch the aggressive fish right off the bat, and then it might die off for a while. You potentially could have some fish move back through, but a lot of times I get a bit impatient, move around because of all the structure points on the different lakes, and find some more fish to be had. Now, ironically, typically Cherry Creek is a better blade bait lake, but I have been doing a little bit better at Chatfield on blade baits, but some blades are a little bit less shiny. Whites and pinks have been really productive for me out there, with some jigging wraps still mixed in.
You know, you're absolutely right about the fish being everywhere. If those lakes did turn over, and I'm suspecting they did, Nate Zielinski told us earlier that Spinney and 11 Mile have turned over and some of the other mountain lakes, and you know these aren't going to be far behind, where you had fish concentrated, just like you said, because when they turn over, the oxygen and the temperature are equal throughout every part of the lake until it restratifies. Yep. That's why you get the fish spread out. And what we should see going forward on the warm water species especially is they're going to start to gather more and more into groups, don't you think?
I would definitely agree with that, and especially on lakes like Pueblo and Chatfield that have additional depth. As the water starts to get cooler, you'll find those fish set up on deeper water spots. But still, you want to be cautious fishing to fish in very deep water due to the fact of some barotrauma coming up there. But you'll find fish in that deeper than 20-foot of water range. And Cherry Creek, they'll sit out there in that main basin, but they just don't concentrate as much because there aren't the deep water structure points out there. So you'll find fish more on the base of some of those humps, whereas at Chatfield and Pueblo, they'll be out on that deeper structure, and you can vertical jig to them or cast to them with some of these same techniques we've been discussing.
Pueblo has a real good variety of species. Have you heard much about the different bites down there right now?
So it depends upon the day. There's some days that guys have been having good success. There's other days that it's been a little bit slower. It's the same type of situation I've been finding on Cherry Creek with this standard warmer weather pattern. And with some cooler weather, hopefully it's going to start to spur things along, as we mentioned. But definitely deeper out there already. I've been hearing in that 25-foot range has been worthwhile. More jigging spoons than jigging wraps down there. And in general, that lake does better on a vertical jig presentation, in my opinion, for the sole purpose being that it is a very snaggy lake, and casting a jigging wrap a lot of times equals losing that jigging wrap without a lure retriever. Whereas at Chatham and Cherry Creek, you can get away with a long cast and not get snagged up in most places. But if you can find those big pods of fish and vertical jig to them, you might catch everything from a walleye to a wiper, a spotted bass or a smallmouth, even a crappie or a largemouth, all can be underneath those shad schools. And this time of year, when the bait fish are as prolific as we are seeing, all the fish are eating them. They're all keyed in on them. And you might catch a wiper on one drop and a walleye on the next and a spot on the next. So that's one of the nice things about that particular lake. And then you can also think about those same type of species variances as you're heading up to places like Lake McConaughey, where those smallmouth and wipers and white bass and walleyes all are in the same place, and the spoon and jigging wrap bite can be good up there too.
You're absolutely right. I'm going to throw in another species for both Pueblo and Glendoe that I've had tremendous success while I've been spooning. In fact, if you go to my YouTube channel, Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, there is a jigging spoon video, one on Pueblo and one on McConaughey. One species people don't talk about enough that I pick up all the time, and actually some state records in Colorado have been caught doing it this time of the year, and that's catfish.
Yep, I knew you were going to be going that direction. And catfish have a tendency to like biting on jigging wraps and blade baits this time of year, just like these other species. They're way more of a predator species than people think that they are, and especially those flatheads down there will really get up on those bait fish schools in a big way. And I've been hearing reports from McConaughey where some walleye guys have been going up there and complaining about how many catfish they're catching. And in my opinion, that's a good problem to be having, especially when a lot of those fish are in that 8 to 10 pound range. So you can get some really nice eaters and really a good fight as well in that deeper water.
You're absolutely right. 3-4 minutes left. What's happening in the mountain lakes?
Starting to see some good stuff up there. I've been hearing good things about some good salmon runs starting. I believe you were mentioning that you had some guys on from Blue Mesa coming up here, so they may make mention of that. But the salmon runs have been good. I've certainly been hearing good things about spinny. The weed growth has started to lay down a little bit up there, and so there's less pronounced weed edges at that lake than we've seen in years past, but still folks are having good success on tube jigs up there, as well as trolling around with some Tasmanian devils. I also like breaking out a jointed rapala this time of year, especially in some of those brown trout colors. That always has been a really good, worthwhile choice for me. North Park is always a good thing to be thinking about this time of year as well. The same type of techniques will work up there. But with those brown trout spawning, the one thing to make mention of is that there are spawning nets up there from Parks and Wildlife, so make sure to steer clear of those when fishing. But working bigger jerk baits like cutters or a J-spec from HD Lures can work exceedingly well. And then mixing in your tube jigs. Now, that lake is a gold medal style lake, but you can fish scented baits above an inch and a half. So a gold minnow is another really good thing to be thinking about, especially if you're shifting over to Lake John, where there's a large bait fish population with little sticklebacks and fathead minnows. I was just up there the other day, and there is a very nice defined weed line around that whole edge of that lake, and we were catching some nice cutbows along those edges.
Well, you know, those big browns you're talking about, whether they're in the Colorado River or they're in the Delaney's, or we're going to talk about those being on Blue Mesa, as you said, we're coming up in the next segment, you almost can't throw too big a lure this time of year at those bait.
I know. Big, giant suspending jerk baits are some of my favorites. You can work them erratically, but then pause them, and those fish will eat that on the pause. And a lot of times if I'm going up there with one of my buddies, I'll either be throwing a big jerk bait, but then the other guy I like to set up with a marabou jig, something a little bit slower and easier presentation can certainly be a good follow-up, especially if you have a fish that flashes at it and you have the ability to cast that other bait over there to it. That can be a good 1-2 punch to catch those fish along those edges.
And don't overlook big streamers if you're a fly fisherman. I'm talking 3 to 6 inch long streamers.
And you can get the same type of action if you're running a sink tip with a generally unweighted articulated fly. Get that sink tip to drop it down there a little bit in the water column, but as you're stripping it, it sits and holds in the water column rather than a heavily weighted streamer that's going to nosedive down to the bottom.
You're absolutely right. So, last question for you. We got nice weather today, cools off a little bit tomorrow and Monday, and I think Tuesday, Wednesday, we get really whacked. If you're going to go fishing right before this cold front, where would you go, and right after, where would you go?
I would be hard-pressed to not hit Cherry Creek locally. We've been catching some really nice big walleyes as of late. Historically, when that first opportunity to catch some legitimately large walleyes over 10 pounds. So that would be high on my list. But then if I was going after the cold front and wanting to do something a little bit different, McConaughey would also be high on my list for the fact that when you get that water to start cooling off, those big, giant walleyes up there can really start congregating underneath those alewife and shad schools.
I think you're absolutely right, my friend. Thank you so much. If people want to talk to you more, get more information, where can they find you?
I'm at Discount Fishing Tackle. We're 6 blocks south of Evans on the west side of Santa Fe.
All right. Always enjoy it, Austin. Get out. We need to fish together.
I would love to do it here before the season ends.
Yeah, we should try to make that happen. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks so much, Tim.
You bet. Austin Parr from Discount Fishing Tackle. We're going to take a timeout, and we come back, we're going to switch things up a little bit again, as we're going to be joined by the folks from Fly Fishing International and talk about a super event they've got coming up that you're not going to want to miss on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 104.3 The Fan.